Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
Back on the podcast with us is Councilman Anthony Piagentini, Louisville Metro Councilman. Councilman Piagentini, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Thank you very much. Doing real well. Appreciate it, Leland.
Talking to a friend of mine, one of Kentucky's county attorneys, and he was looking at unemployment numbers. We are on track within the next few weeks for Kentucky to have 50% of our workforce idled.
Did you say 50?
50.
Yeah,
we're at 32 right now, and there were 700. There was another 75K that filed unemployment last week. In about 2 weeks, if this keeps going, we'll be at half the state's workforce unemployed.
Yeah, because one of the things we're starting just now to feel the second wave, the downstream impact of all this stuff.
Right.
So friends of mine in the hospitality industry, they did, you know, immediate layoffs of, you know, 70% of their workforce when this first happened. And now they've gone through, just this past week, another round of layoffs.
Jeez.
You know, so yeah, I mean, so that's what's happening. And not to mention, to your, you know, again, downstream impacts, right? Toyota shuts down, or Ford shuts down, all that stuff. Well, how about their suppliers?
Right.
Right. The airline industry isn't moving. We export a ton of airline parts out of this state. Right. Those are the downstream impacts that are just now starting to hit.
Right.
Farms related to restaurant consumption. Right. I mean, this is going to be very, very bad. It is bad. It's going to get worse.
Well, and meanwhile, we have a governor who seems to think that. And I want to say this to preface this. I do think in his heart he thinks he's trying to save Kentuckians' lives. I just think he thinks he's the only one that can do it. And his way or his advisor's way is the only way to do it. And, you know, last week's silly edict about churches when he got shot down by a federal judge second week in a row for his draconian measures. And then he comes out and after the judge is like, you can't tell churches they can't meet. Come on. And then he's like, well, okay, you can meet, but you can't be singing. You know, it's like... It's almost like we're on two different planets here. You have one Kentucky that's literally suffering, and you have another Kentucky that is, I don't know, worshiping at this guy's feet and eating up every word that he says and thinking that his word is gospel. And it doesn't seem like we have any innovation actually happening for how Kentucky's going to dig out of this when the states surrounding us are all way ahead of us.
Yeah, and there's a couple things going on. The most fundamental, the largest problem is he's in too much of a cocoon.
Yeah.
Okay. And the people that are making these decisions are very smart people. That's not the question.
Right.
Right. But it is not possible. And I'm going to address this in some comments here in a second. It is not possible. I don't care how smart they are. They could be all Rhodes Scholars, right? Ivy League grads, top of their industry. A small group of people in Frankfurt can't possibly fathom all of the moving parts, all of the independent decisions, all of the variables that a state with 4 million people means when it comes to even disease control, but when it comes to reopening the economy.
Right.
Right. So, for example, in churches, I actually, you know, voiced my dismay with the whole singing thing. Right. And so there was a guy who said that he was part of Bashir's team. And he starts tweeting back to me at how they made these decisions. And I said, related to singing, I can't do it at my church. I am easily 30 feet or more from the next person who's in front of me when I'm singing, when I'm leading the congregation. His response was, well, in my church, you know, we're right on top of each other. And I said, good for you and your church, right? But that's the point.
Right.
They can't possibly know how every church is designed, how every church is functioned. They're focusing on micromanaging action,
right,
as opposed to focusing on outcomes. And this is the fundamental flaw of how they're trying to reopen.
Well, that whole thing felt like, oh, okay, we can't tell you not to worship, then we'll tell you how to worship. Because to your point, instead of saying, hey, churches, here's our suggestion. We suggest you stay X number of feet apart. Do whatever you got to do that. Whether you're singing, whether you're dancing, whether you're praying, whatever you're doing, do whatever you do to follow our suggestion of being 6 to 10 feet apart, as opposed to some arbitrary thing, this aspect of worship can't go down, you know? And then the whole thing, like only one person in the bathroom at a time, and then we have to clean it after each one. Are we going to assign a parishioner to go in and clean the bathroom after everybody goes? And then God help those parishioners of long-winded preachers.
Right. Well, and so here's what my comment about outcomes are, right?
Right.
They can post guidance all the live long day, right? And maybe they just say, look, here's some ideas, right? Here's
right.
some thoughts,
right.
right? Related to reopening, right? Related to this industry, that industry, this other thing. We've completely lost sight of what the ball is. The ball is to reduce cases and reduce deaths. Really, deaths is the ball, mm-hmm. right? And reduce the possibility of overwhelming the public health system by having a huge explosion of infections that then runs into Norton Hospital system, and then they're overwhelmed.
Right, okay? Right.
So instead of doing just guidance, why don't they say, look, here's the deal. Here's some guidance and all. But in reality, this is what we're going to do. The outcome is don't have an outbreak. So I don't care what you're going to do, right? If you're going to open a church, you're going to open a restaurant, you're going to open manufacturing, you're going to open whatever. If you cause an outbreak being defined as X, right? X
right.
percent of cases related to the population that's coming into your thing, then you're going to get shut down for a month.
Right.
You know, and once you say that, every business, every church, every what social event, everybody will start to think, oh crap, right? I don't want to be shut down for a month, right?
Right?
So let me get innovative and creative on how I can stop this from happening in the unique circumstances of my business, of my organization, of my church.
Right. Which right? most businesses have already done and have been preparing for.
Of course.
But yeah, to your point, you're basically saying, as a leader, you're saying, here are the outcomes. You know, the organization that I work within, they are very clear about the outcomes that they want from each of us, right? They're like, this
right.
is what you have to accomplish. You have to do these things. Go do them, right? It's not, I'm over your shoulder making sure you're doing this part or this component of this thing the exact way that I do this component of this thing. No, it's go accomplish this. This is your goal. You're,
right.
I mean, I think you're right on, and I think that's exactly how we need to look at it, because people don't want to hurt other people. Contrary to what you see on social media, I don't want to kill grandma. You know, people don't want to hurt other people. We just want to get back to work.
And I'm seeing an increasing set of voices, which is disturbing at best, who are basically saying, look, this concept that employers, right, want to harm their employees or their customers is ridiculous on its face, right? Particularly in today's day and age, with almost instantaneous feedback on things like Yelp, on things like, you know, Google, right, where you give reviews instantaneously after reviewing a product or reviewing a service, right? It is extremely incumbent. If customers start walking into a business and they feel unsafe, everybody will know it in 10 seconds on social media. So they're going to be all minding their P's and Q's. But you can't look at the Chick-fil-A that's down the street from me
right.
and give them the same guidance that Jeff Ruby's has,
right?
Right. Like,
right.
They are so, just within the restaurant industry, so different. I'll give you another example. Blind Squirrel is down the street from me. Love Blind Squirrel.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody that's in Louisville, come to Blind Squirrel. It's in District 19. It's down the street from me.
Yep.
So
awesome.
They have a huge outdoor space. They have huge land as an outdoor space. So this 33% plus outdoor, they are going to pack the
yeah.
outdoor area
yeah.
like crazy, right?
Right, right.
Meanwhile, all of a sudden, many of my maybe left of center counterparts on council that represent the Highlands, where those restaurants are on top of each other, they don't have access to their sidewalks, they don't have outdoor space, those restaurants are hosed.
Right.
Right. They have no ability to do what Blind Squirrel can do.
Right.
Okay. So meanwhile, I've seen pictures, photos, and ideas from restaurants. One restaurant, it was like, imagine a little like breakfast cafe shop where they have a lot of two top tables next to each other. This woman put up shower curtains in between them.
Mm-hmm.
So like literally,
that's hilarious. That's awesome.
And they're translucent, so you can still see
yeah,
people
still
in between
the
them.
Still get the social experience.
Right, but you are literally in your own little showered, you know,
oh
like
God.
Shower curtain. I was like, this freaking brilliant.
Capitalism
right?
is
and
awesome.
It accomplishes the goal, you know. So let them be creative and do things like that, that will stop the goal, stop the spread of the disease. But allow them to hire, allow them to provide their service, allow people to go back to work, which
right.
feeds their families, right? The other thing I'm tired of is I'm tired of hearing from people that are financially secure. Mm-hmm. Right, somebody go find me the 150,000 Kentuckians right now, or the tens of thousands to this day that still haven't gotten their unemployment checks from the state. Somebody go find them who are going to the area community ministries here, who are hungry, who are going to Dare to Care, can't feed their kids. So you find those people and tell me they're happy or they can't work.
Yeah, we're developing a problem here. We're going to talk more about this week. I think Josh Crawford's coming on from the Pegasus Institute tomorrow, and there's one of the issues that I see that's happening here is that the left is really taking advantage of this situation, and they're starting to gain steam with this universal income, because there's a portion of society that doesn't want to work and isn't working and is miserable right now, but they're happy to just take whatever handouts are coming their way. But there's a big portion in the middle that's what you just described, and it's people that just want to be productive. They want to get back to achieving their dreams, trying to chase down their financial goals in their life, and that's the people that you're talking about that we need to be talking to about how they feel. Because the media is going to the doctors and the nurses, or they're going to the people that want to just stay at home and watch Netflix, and they're ignoring these masses, or they're calling them rabble-rousers, or they're calling them Trump supporters, or they're, you know, trying to ostracize them in some way. And that's really sad, because that's the engine of America that they're ostracizing right there.
Yeah. Well, and first of all, you said it right. Work is dignity.
Right.
Work is not just, you know, profits over people bullcrap. There's a reason why the studies are coming out now related to the amount of deaths from despair, right?
Right.
Because people that don't work are engaged in despair. They have suicidal tendencies. They get depressed because work has meaning. The structure of going to work helps structure your life. I see it in myself. I'm not half as healthy as I was 2 months ago, because I've lost the structure of waking up, driving to my office, seeing people at work, engaging with them.
Right.
I mean, I'm doing everything online, but it is not the same.
Right.
And it has changed my health. It has changed who I am. It has changed how I interact with people. And that you can't minimize the impact this has. So getting back to work is not a profit. It's hell with profits. People can figure out how to make profits later.
Right. Right.
This is about getting people back to work.
Right.
People that can put food on the table, they can achieve their life goals, they can have meaning and substance. Let me tell you something. For those that are talking about this universal income rise, like taking this tragedy and trying to push a political agenda with it, where have we seen the outbreaks now, right?
Right.
Prisons run by the government, nursing homes hyper-regulated by the government. Okay, and sort of, well, say captive people, right?
Right.
Is where we see outbreaks. Unemployment, can't figure out how the hell to do that. It's like a debacle trying to get the checks out the door. Takes them months to figure out how to do it right. If you think that they have the ability to take something like universal income or structure a new economy that's going to do what the American economy has literally in the history of the world.
Right.
Lifted more people out of poverty. The stats globally are even worse, right? As bad as it is here in the U.S., they're talking about tens of millions of people globally, 100 million plus people who are going to be in extreme poverty,
right?
Who are going to be hungry by the end of this year. Again, downstream effects from all of these decisions.
Well, this is what you and I were talking about early on in this when we were mocked for this, but we were saying this is going, the shutdown is going to kill more people than the virus ever dreamed of. And now we're starting to see that, because people don't realize that, for a long time, liberals have wanted to take America down a notch or two. And
right.
This virus achieved that. And when you're now going to see over the next coming years, very shortly, what America looks or what the world looks like without an American economic engine. And mm-hmm. even if we're getting back up and running, there's going to be some slap lag on that where, even if we get back up and running, there's going to be a little lag time. You're going to see the very effects of what happens when America's not on the globe leading economically. We're about to see that. And, you know, that's a frightening, because even the UN put out a report the other day that several hundred thousand children are going to die because of that poverty that you're talking about, where, you know, maybe we were pulling third world countries up into sort of second world developing countries.
That's right.
They're going to fall right back down.
The Economist magazine, I'm sure it was like a decade ago, I mean, it's been quite some time, said unequivocally that capitalism has moved 50% of the poor of this world out of poverty.
Right.
Right. Moved those populations from from poverty into middle class status in their countries, right?
Show me largely the government program that can do that.
Yeah, right. There's none. There's none. In the history of the world, it's never happened, right? And so we have now brought that back. We are, as you're going to say, we're going to see death and despair. And yeah. Here's the thing that I think people need to, and these politicians need to wrap their heads around. I don't blame Bashir or Trump or any other politician for COVID-19 deaths,
right?
They're not responsible. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy of life. People die from the flu every year. People are dying COVID-19. People die of cancer.
Right.
My father died at 54 of a cancer that had nothing to do with his lifestyle, right? It was just bad genetic luck, right? I blame nobody for that. That is life. It is the tragedy, tragic part of the circle of life, right? The difference being, we did cause the economic meltdown,
right,
which will cause those poverty-related deaths.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. That was caused by our action.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, right now they're saying, well, if you reopen, you're going to kill more people. Actually, again, the disease will do that. We're trying to mitigate that, but our actions right now are definitively going to kill people from poverty and hunger, both in the United States, and despair and suicide, both in the United States and across the world. There's no question about it.
Agreed. Well, in a way, I kind of wrap this up, but just a kind of a final thought. You know, that we're starting to see the numbers are coming in now, and now that the data is in, it's showing that this is far less lethal than originally thought.
Right.
Still worse than the flu, but it's magnitudes less deadly than they originally thought. We also know which areas of the population it targets. But the problem is, now that we have that data, instead of shifting to fight it that way, going back to your military analogy, once you know where the enemy is, if you keep fighting where the enemy is not, then you're going to lose the battle, right?
That's right.
But if you know where the enemy is, then you have to shift and to take on the enemy where the enemy is at. We know where the enemy is now, and our leaders, from top to bottom, are not making that shift. Last thoughts.
That's right. There was, in the military, there's what you call a five-paragraph order. Before you go into the actual combat scenario, you get a five-paragraph order. It's a mission statement, right? There's situation, mission, execution, admin, logistics, control, and signals, right? It tells you everything you need to know about that mission. The joke in the military is, once you cross what they call the line of departure, right? Essentially, that's the line where you started to execute this five-paragraph order and execute your mission. Take that thing, crumple it up, throw it in the wastebasket, right?
Right. Because
the shit never goes the way you think it's going to go,
right?
Like, you start moving, things start happening. And again, to your point, you start to see things on the battlefield. You're like, we didn't expect that to happen. We need to adjust our fire.
Right.
We need to move this team from point A to point B. We need to call in different support. And that all has to be done on the fly.
Right.
Right. You know, everybody says Semper Fi in the Marine Corps. We used to call it Semper Gumby. Right. You had to always be flexible. Always be flexible. Right. Semper Gumby. Right.
I like it.
And so we have to be way more flexible. We have to completely fine tune what we've been doing. And you're exactly right. We're still coming at this with a blunt force object.
Right.
And we need to get far more surgical.
It's a dynamic enemy. Why not respond in a dynamic way? And
that's right.
That's very concerning that our leaders are inflexible that way. But the lesson I'm learning in this is that government is pointless. Whereas for some strange reason, there's a lot of people being told by the media that this is why we need government. Go figure. Anthony Piacentini, he's a Marine. He's a Louisville Metro councilman, a businessman extraordinaire. Thanks for your time. Always enjoy your thoughts. It's always fun having you on.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a great day. It is the Disruption Zone. Thank you, sir. It is the Disruption Zone. I am Leland Conway. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at Leland Show and at Zone Disruption. On Instagram, it's at Greatly Londo and at The Disruption Zone. Free subscription at Apple Podcasts, as well as Spreaker, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. Just search The Disruption Zone on iHeartRadio. Sign up. It's free. And new episodes will be delivered to you in your pocket. Okay? Cool stuff. Thanks for listening. I'm Leland Conway. Lots of great stuff coming up this week. Thanks to Dynamics Productions for their help with the production of this wonderful podcast. Thank you for listening to this to the Disruption Zone.